Matthew chapter 4. Now, we started last week on this series on healing and deliverance. And we're going to continue. This is healing part 2, and I call this healing part 2, healing records examined. And we're going to start in Matthew. We'll pretty much stay in Matthew, but just to remind ourselves of what we covered last time. We had taken a look at the redemption, the atonement in the work of Jesus Christ, and how that work that he did dealt not only with sin, but it also dealt with, well, basically the entire loss that Adam had suffered, and that included bringing us back together with God, included giving us peace, and included wholeness, deliverance, body, soul, and spirit. Every area of life was covered by that work. And we use the terms atonement and redemption interchangeably, but you know, one led, the atonement, the actual sacrifice, the payment that Jesus, the mercy seat that Jesus Christ, that he did, that was the payment, which leads to us being joined back with God, and that, so the redemption is the more overarching term here. And you know, as a result of that, we looked at Isaiah, when Isaiah had prophesied about the coming of Jesus Christ, and that in that work of atonement, the work that he was going to accomplish, deliverance, we looked specifically at sickness and disease and the illnesses, and that being covered by that atoning work. And God himself was kind enough to point that out to us in Matthew chapter 8, that what Isaiah was talking about was in fact sickness and disease was part of that, because Jesus Christ healed all, and then that was a result. We'll look at that verse again today, but that's what we looked at. And the reason that is important is for us to understand is that this was made available by Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. It's not something that we're still waiting for. You know, we'll look at how Jesus Christ was on the way to accomplishing it while he was here, but it was accomplished in the work of Jesus Christ. So there's never ever a doubt that deliverance from sickness and disease, all manner of it, is not baked into the redemption that Jesus Christ brought for us. And that has to be the underlying understanding we have in everything that relates to sickness and disease. So I thought, you know, when we look at these records today, and it's going to be just kind of reading through and looking at some of these things, we're going to ask ourselves certain questions. But before we do that, I was going to ask you that, you know, when you... Because we know that deliverance from sickness and disease is joined in with, you know, man's redemption from sin, the sin of Adam that Adam had caused. And when you go to someone at work or someone in your home or someone on the street, do you ever pray to God to ask them if saving them would be okay? Are we looking for information to say that saving somebody would be okay? No. Because we know, God told us, you know, he wants all men to be saved. Well, if deliverance and healing is baked into the redemption, it's part of the whole package, do I need further guidance to tell me that I should bring deliverance to people's lives? I mean, no. And we'll see that. We're going to see that today. So keep that in your mind. You know, sometimes we say that in the Old Testament, and this is true, we have a lot of records in the Old Testament about receiving revelation, right? And so when we teach about revelation, we look at records of Elijah and Elisha and, you know, Moses and Samuel and, you know, all these men, great men who walked with God, Jacob, and all those men who walked with God. And we say, well, God had given us the principles there in the Old Testament, so that's why there isn't much written about that in the New Testament, because we've already got the records. And we look at those records and we try to see how these men walked with God. Listen, well, I would put forward to you that in the, what have I got here? And this is rough, but 70 records of healing in the Gospels. I think that God had that recorded because that's how healing takes place. Just the same way as we look in the Old Testament to see how revelation is received, here's some wonderful records that show us how healing is to be accomplished. And there are obviously 12 records in the book of Acts, which we will look at in due course, not today. But all this to say, you know, the only thing that we have in terms of how this happens, you know, healing, deliverance, all these things happen, is the Word of God. And that's what we have. We don't have conjecture. We don't have opinion. We have, so if the Word of God shows us things, it is to be our rule, right, for doctrine, reproof, and correction. So all we're going to do today is just read what the Word says and not, you know, just look at it, see what it says when it concerns specifically the topic of healing and deliverance, and hopefully we'll see some things. And I wrote down some questions to ask while we look at these records. How was the healing done? Who had faith or believing in the situation? Because faith must always be involved. Without that, there's going to be no results. And the best case in all these records is that everyone involved have faith. That would be the best. That wouldn't that be the best? That's always the best. It's not always the case. Next question: what did they have faith in? What did they believe? What was it? They, you know, and a lot of the records don't answer all these questions, but they're just questions. When you're reading God's word, it's a good idea to ask questions. Was prayer involved? Good question. Who got healed? Were there cases when healing did not work? And the last one, was revelation involved? So these are all questions that, you know, and some of them records mention and answer these questions, some don't, and some answer some of them, some answer all of them, and so forth. We'll see. We'll see what these records say. So Matthew 4 is the first one, and I wanted you to understand that when we're looking at these records now in the Gospels, you recognize that Jesus Christ was still on the way to accomplishing what Isaiah had said. Right? And Isaiah said, by his stripes we are healed. First Peter says, by his stripes we were healed. And here, Jesus Christ is healing and delivering and forgiving people's sins. So he's on the way to doing it. So just keep that in mind. That'll be interesting enough. Matthew chapter 4, let's just start with there. Verse 23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. That's really all it says. What did he do? He healed all manner of sickness, all manner of disease. Basically, there was nothing that he couldn't heal, all of it. All manner, all sickness, and everything. He was able to heal all of it. There was nothing that was more difficult than anything else, as far as we can read. I mean, the record doesn't tell us any more than that, does it? He spoke the word of God, he preached the word, and he healed. Let's go to Matthew chapter 8. So, who got healed? Everyone that he ministered to. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. Matthew 8, 9, and 10, if you want a healing booster shot, read Matthew 8, 9, 10. Just read them, 8 and 9. Matthew chapter 8, when he was come down, verse 1, from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. So right away you ask the question. This gentleman who came down, who was he? Who did he have faith in? Jesus Christ. Right? Isn't that what it says? Yeah. If you will, you can do this. You know, you can make me clean. Okay, straightforward. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And remember, every time you read, I won't say this too often, but every time you read Jesus Christ saying something, you have to line that up with exactly who God is, because Jesus Christ spoke on behalf of God. He's the visible representation of the invisible God, and when he spoke for God. So if Jesus Christ said, I will, then it is God's will that this guy be healed. Right? If it's Jesus' will, it's God's will. There's no question about that here. So when he asked him, if you will, I will. So what is God's will? Healing and deliverance. It's pretty simple. You know, it's nothing complicated there. I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said, don't tell anybody about this, and offer the gift and so forth. You know, look at those questions. How was the healing done? Jesus Christ just said, be clean, be thou clean. Isn't that what we read there? Is there any more information there? No, it just says, be thou clean. The guy asks him, is it your will? He goes, yep, be clean. Okay, so Jesus Christ commanded that man's leprosy to heal. And he was healed. What did they have faith in? This gentleman had faith in Jesus Christ. Because if he had faith in himself, he wouldn't have come to Jesus Christ. But he came to him, and Jesus Christ did what was necessary. Was prayer involved? Not that we can see.
No.
Right? There's no one there praying. He just ministered. He just told him, be healed. He said, I want to be healed. Yeah, if it's your will, and Jesus Christ said, yeah, okay, be clean. And he was clean. I don't think it gets any simpler than that. Okay, was revelation involved? Don't know. Now, when I ask that question each time, I want you to keep something really clear here. I don't want to be distracted about this or go off topic about this. But when it comes to healing, this is why we looked at the redemption in Isaiah first, because you got to recognize that the doctrine is clear: healing, deliverance from all manner of sickness, all manner of disease, is part of the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. So for you or me, anybody who walks, you know, and we're going to look at more records, but anybody walks with God, there is no more information required to say that we ought to deliver or not to deliver. That's done. Now, when in the process of delivering, you might get more information. We'll see that in cases when Jesus Christ was there. But the revelation, the information was not whether a person should be ministered to or whether healing was available. That's not it. In the process of it, you might get, you'll see that in certain cases. But the fact that healing is always available, that is not, there's no revelation required in that area. It'd be like me saying to you, okay, Philippians chapter 4, you're anxious? The Bible says, what should you do? Be anxious, nothing, but everything by prayer. Make your request known unto God. Pray, right? Pray. And you get anxious and you go, well, I'm gonna ask for revelation on what I should do here about this. What's written down? You read it. We just read it here. It's Jesus Christ, all manner, all sickness, disease, baked in the redemption. I don't need more information to know that healing is always available. Don't need that. Might need more information on how to do something in a situation. But as far as ministering to somebody and bringing deliverance, and we're going to see that. That is clear as can be. Okay, let's next record. It's right after that. I said Matthew 8 is a good one. So by the way, what did Jesus Christ do? He touched the leper, he put his hand on him, touched him. That's something that was involved. And immediately he was healed. Okay, where are we? Verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. So if a man's coming to him, what is this man's faith in? Him. And saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. Like, I love his approach to these records. You know, okay, want to be healed? Okay, I'll come heal him. You see, his willingness is very, very obvious. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. This gentleman here, this guy is outside of Israel, this guy. And he says all he needed was the word to be spoken, and this person would be healed, and his servant would be... The servant, is the servant anywhere around here?
No.
He's not even here, right? Okay, interesting. Verse 9, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. So this guy says, I understand authority. Because I myself, you know, in the military, you know authority. You don't, you know, someone tells you to do this, you don't say, well, I don't really feel it. No, you just do what you're told. Because the authority structure in the military is very strict. He says, and Jesus said, verse 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. What was the man's faith in? In Jesus Christ. What was that faith? He knew that Jesus Christ had authority over sickness and disease. And Jesus Christ said, wow, I've not seen this. I've not seen this in Israel. So, and again, as we're reading this, and again, in due course, many couple of teachings later, we're going to look at who lives within us. Christ. I think we heard that today, right? In the manifestations. Christ lives within us. So when you look at Jesus Christ here doing what he's doing, recognize that he now lives within us. He lives within you. So when this gentleman can come to him and say, I recognize you have authority over all this, interesting that Christ lives within us now. Okay, let's keep on reading. Verse 11. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. What was it that he believed? What did he have faith in? Jesus Christ. What was the faith that he had? That he could do this because he had authority over sickness and disease. And Jesus Christ, just like you, what you believe, that I have authority over it, be it done unto you. It's done. He spoke the word. That's what he wanted. He got it, and his servant was healed. And his servant was healed in the self same hour. Did the servant do anything? Was he even here?
Nope.
Was his faith involved?
Nope.
So you're telling me that according to this record, it is possible for one person's faith to heal somebody else. Isn't that what's happening here?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. But the great thing is that faith is involved. It has to be involved. Right? And Jesus Christ told the man, you have great faith. Was Jesus Christ have great faith?
Yeah.
The question is not to be asked. Right? But you see, this is a lot of the things that maybe, you know, we've maybe not thought about in our lives. I mean, the scriptures are pretty, very, very clear. Very, very clear. We're going to see this even more and more. But here, they had authority. He had authority in Jesus. He believed, so he had faith in Jesus Christ. So did the leper, you know. And when Jesus Christ was ministering healing, we'll see this later sometime, what did he tell them? He told them to have faith in what? God. Isn't that what he told them to do? He said, and he also said, he doeth the works. Right? Isn't that what he said? Yeah, okay. Let's keep reading. Another one right after. It's like condensed healing teachings here. And by the way, Jesus had the authority to do what? To command things to go. Just he commanded the leprosy to go, and now he commanded the sickness to go. And the man said, you have authority to do that. To command it to go. He didn't say you have the authority to sit here and pray and ask for God to get rid of it. You have the authority to command it to go. Okay, verse 15, 14. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And if you look at the parallel records of this, they're in three of the Gospels. It says that they besought him on her behalf. They told him about her. So you put that all together, that they had told him about his wife's mother. And he saw his wife by the late and sick of a fever. Verse 15. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. So what was involved in the healing here? He touched her. Didn't he touch her? He touched her hand, and the fever left her. Why did the fever leave her? Because he has authority over sickness and disease. The fever left. That's it. It's pretty simple. Did Jesus Christ pray in this situation? Is there any mention of him receiving revelation? Maybe he did. Maybe, I don't know. All I know is that he healed her by the authority that he had over her. The authority over sickness and disease is not something that you and I need revelation about. That is part of the redemptive work of Jesus. I'm going to keep mentioning that because it's something that we have to understand underlies everything we're talking about here. Okay. Who had faith here?
Jesus Christ.
Right? So you're telling me that, again, we read another record where a person is healed where the other person had faith, had believing. So does that mean that you always need the person who's sick to have faith or believing? Not according to the scriptures. Somebody has got to have believing. Somebody has to have faith. Somebody has to believe. Isn't that what we're reading here? Am I reading into the record here something that's not here? Well, okay, there's more. Verse 16, right after. And this again, this is when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. All of them. He healed, cast out the spirits with what? With his word. He commanded these spirits to go and healed all that were sick. That's what he did. So, and then we read this verse last week, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. He took it upon, we read, looked at this in detail last time, he took it upon himself. They were put on him, sickness and disease put on him, and that was it. End of sickness and disease. Sicknesses and disease should have no part in a Christian's life. It should not exist according to the scriptures. It should not exist. That is the record of scripture. And if we tolerate it, allow it to exist in our lives, then we are thinking and believing contrary to what the scriptures say. He took it upon, either he substituted himself and took it upon himself, or he didn't. There's only two sides to this coin here. Right? Which one is it according to scriptures? He took it upon him. We just read it. Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses, right? And that word infirmities is sometimes translated sicknesses, illnesses, diseases, weaknesses, all of it, right? Okay, Matthew chapter 9. All right. There's a lot of confronting records here. Believe me, I was looking at this stuff. I said, well, this is very confronting. Didn't expect that. Matthew chapter 9, verse 1. And he entered into a ship and passed over. It's just fun reading these records, I think. You know, just the simplicity of it is very striking. Anyway. Passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith. And now if you read the parallel record here, we won't bother going to it. But if you'll remember, it's in Luke chapter 5, where it says, you know, they had to break down the roof and they couldn't get to him. And they brought him through the roof and down. And this is why when he says, seeing their faith, right, said unto the sick. So what did he see? What did he see? What was their faith in? Jesus Christ, right? Isn't it? Because they had to get to him. And they couldn't get to him because the crowds, so they broke open the roof and they came down. And he said, wow, you guys are really believing. You guys have a lot of faith here. Faith in him, right? And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Yeah, so a question to ask, I asked here is, if the man here had faith or believing to get his own healing, why would he come to Jesus Christ? He wouldn't, would he? You wouldn't have to, right? But here, he came to Jesus Christ because his faith was in him. Okay, and Jesus, knowing their, verse 3, and behold, certain scribes, all helpful as always, said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. Right. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say that thy sins be forgiven thee, or say, arise and walk. So even in the healing there, when he says, you know, I can forgive his sins, but to deliver him, what can I can say, arise and walk. Did he pray? Was he saying, I'm going to pray? And he said, no, I can forgive his sins. Which one is easier? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go on. It's just, one is just as easy as the other, isn't it? Why? They're both baked into the redemption that Jesus Christ was going to pay for. This stuff here we're going to read, and I'll just mention it once, in the Gospels, is being set to the account that Jesus Christ was going to pay in full by his death, resurrection. Right? He was going to pay it in full. Here is being set to the account. The healing set to their account, so to speak. Is what's going on here. And here, arise, take up that bed and walk. And he arose and departed to his house. So again, just to briefly go over questions, how was it done? Jesus Christ commanded it to be done. He told the man, this time he just told the man, get up, go home. Okay? Who had faith? Jesus Christ. Right? What did he have faith in? In the Lord. Was prayer involved? Not that we can see. Who got healed? A man got healed. Did it work? Yeah. Is revelation involved? Might have been. Don't know. Not that he should be healed. Maybe more information. I don't know. But all I know is that to heal, deliver, is in redemption. There's nothing, no more information that we need about that particular situation. Okay. Matthew, where are we going here? 27, Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, listen to this, believe ye that I am able to do this? Isn't that pretty clear? What was their faith in? He could do it. Isn't that what we've seen in many of the records here? Right? See, we're going to look at that later, but it's to recognize that the faith, the believing that's involved in these records is not for the person to believe that I can get myself over this delivered sickness, that I can somehow concentrate really hard and believe and get over this, you know, kind of go, oh yeah, I can just, it's not that. What is the faith in? Christ. What Jesus Christ has done. And Jesus Christ said, look, he does the works. Believe God. Believe him. Believe in him. Believe him. He does the works. I don't do them. He does the works. So, you know, it takes a lot of pressure off the individual, doesn't it? Where the pressure shouldn't be on the individual. That's why Jesus Christ was our substitute. He took it upon himself. Okay, so he asked the question, believe ye that I'm able to do this? They say, yea, Lord. Then touched ye, again, touch involved, touch their eyes. Touch their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. According to your faith. Faith in what? In him. Not to make themselves unblind. If they had the faith to make themselves unblind, wouldn't they have done it? Faith in him. Believe that he was going to be able to do it with the power of God. Right? And we'll look at Acts later, but just a precursor, you know. If you think by our own holiness, our power, we had made this man to walk. No. Faith in his name, right? We'll look at that later sometime. But here again, it's kind of very simple to understand, isn't it? Believe I can do it? Yeah. Done. Eyes be opened. Okay. Keeping on going here. And their eyes were open, and Jesus straightly charged them, see thou tell no man. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad the fame in all the country. And because they didn't listen to him, they lost their blind healing. No, they didn't. No, they didn't, right? God's mercy, you know, and grace and blessing on these. Even though they didn't even obey the guy. They didn't obey Jesus. They outright disobeyed him and, well, got to keep their healing anyway. Well, we read, it leads us into another record. Again, touch involved. Jesus Christ believed. They had confidence and faith in him. Right? No prayer mentioned. Prayer not mentioned yet, has it? Not once. We haven't seen it. Okay. 27. Where was that? Sorry. Verse 32. And as they went out, these men, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. No other mention. All it says is that the spirit was cast out. Verse 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Was there a sickness? Was there a disease that he found too hard to deal with, according to the scriptures? No. No. The difficulty in these things is a purely human thing. It's not a spiritual thing. If God can make the heavens and the earth, dot, 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 right? Would it be any harder for him to do one over the other? No. Jesus Christ said, he does the works. Everything is attributed to him. Okay, Matthew chapter 11. You don't have to go too far to read these records. Matthew chapter 11. Verse 2. Now when John had, this is John's disciples came to Jesus. When John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again these things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Isn't that beautiful? And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Why couldn't he do many mighty works in his own hometown? Because they were offended in him. And here it says all these people saw this, so these people were not offended in him. They had faith in him. They believed that he could do this. And he did it. And all these people got healed, lame able to walk, lepers cleansed, deaf hear, dead raised up. Doesn't get any worse than being dead. In Matthew chapter 12, next chapter over, verse 10. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days that we might accuse him? Because we know, Jesus, that on the other 6 days, we have a very active healing ministry going here. No. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then saith he to the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like as the other. He issued a command. Again, isn't this getting to be very much the way that healing takes place? Word spoken to command sickness and disease to leave. Word spoken to command bodies to get up and walk. Word spoken for hands to stretch forth and be healed. Words that are word spoken with faith. Word spoken with believing. Recognizing that God's power is able to accomplish all of this. That's what he did here. You know, and when he says to do well in the Sabbath day, that means healing must be doing well. Must be the thing that God wants. Isn't it to do well? So healing is doing well. That's what God wants. That's what God requires. God is able to do this, right? Healing is a good thing. I think we all recognize that. And he stretched forth his hand, and it was restored whole like the other. Verse 14, Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. Yeah. Okay. Let's go down to... We'll go to verse 22. You can read that. It's the middle part again. Great quote there from Isaiah. But verse 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. Right. See, if you read that record there, Isaiah says that in the name of the Lord, the Gentiles were going to trust. See, all these people who trusted in him, who had faith in Jesus Christ and believed in him, saw great blessings and saw deliverance. And he led them to God. He told them to have faith and confidence in God. It's not having faith and confidence in your ability to believe. That's not it, right? It's not faith and confidence in myself. Or my ability, I can believe really big. It's not that. It's faith and confidence in God and what he has accomplished in Jesus Christ. That's where the faith and confidence must be. Okay, verse 14, chapter 14. Let's go to Matthew 14. A few more records. Again. 14:34. And when they were come over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of them, they sent out into all that country, round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased. Brought them all that were diseased. And besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched him were made perfectly whole. How did the healing take place here? They touched him. They touched the hem of his garment. What were they having faith in? What were they having confidence in? In him. and they just touch him. Did it say he touched them? Doesn't say that here. Did it say a prayer was involved? No. Doesn't say that. They touched him and they were healed. See, their faith in him. See, faith was involved. They had confidence and faith in Jesus Christ. And they touched him and were healed. See, sometimes we tend to limit healing to a certain number of factors. Well, as you begin to see as we go through these records, it's not really limited, is it? It must be done in this particular configuration type of way. You know, we've seen cases where he healed the man and the man wasn't even there. What kind of framework do you put that healing into? Right. Sometimes it was the person that brought him talking to them about someone they knew. Sometimes the person themselves. Here, sometimes he touched them. Sometimes they here touched him. Healing took place. I think the underlying theme here is that God wants healing and deliverance in people's lives. And he has said, I want this by proclaiming it that it's part of the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. And so far we've not seen prayer, have we yet? Not one case. You know, it'd be like me saying to, you know, my son or daughter saying, you know, or she, you know, I take $5 and I say, I put it in their pocket. And they come to me every day, Dad, can I have $5? I said, well, I already gave it to you. Now, you can pray all you want. I mean, prayer is a great thing. I mean, I'm not trying to discount prayer. We pray to God about everything, and you can. But it's like him, my son or daughter, asking me constantly, can I have the five? Can I have five? It's in your pocket. It's in your pocket. It's in your pocket. Sure, you can ask me all you want, but it's still in your pocket. I already gave it to you. Why are you keeping on asking me for it? That's why you don't see it. Because Jesus Christ's work is baked into that work. It is done. It's a done deal. It is accomplished. There is nothing more to be done to make it available for anybody who wants to believe. Right? And that means unbelievers. Because there are cases where Jesus, you know, some of these people Jesus Christ ministered healing to, you think they had a roving ministry afterwards? How about the 10 lepers? 9 got healed of leprosy. Only 1 came back. The other 9 lose their healing? No. You see, healing is available. Jesus Christ's work has taken care of it. Now God makes the rain to fall on the unjust and unjust and the unjust. Well, his blessings are for all. Okay, 14:22, we just read that, I think. 34. Where are we? 34, yeah, thank you. Chapter 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, this is an interesting record. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And he answered her not a word. And his disciples came in beside him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So to say, healing, here's the first record we read where he's saying healing is not available for you. Right? I'm not sent. Keep reading. You know the record. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Right? For which she would be arrested today in Canada. Verse 27. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Who was she having? Who did she have faith in here? Him. Master's table. She had faith in him. She just put aside the thing that he just... She didn't even listen to him, did she? Totally ignored. So that showed she had faith in him. She believed that he could do this. Well, then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Right? The two times he says great faith, one is the centurion outside the fold of Israel, and here the Syrophoenician, according to the parallel records. Again, outside the pale of Israel. Right? Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. She's not even here. The daughter's not there. Who had faith that her daughter would be healed? Jesus Christ. She came to him. She had faith in him. He had faith that she'd be healed. Guess what? Healing accomplished. Done. Done deal. She knew he could do it. And it was done. So does that mean that you could possibly have faith for somebody who's not even around you and they could get healed? Well, according to the records we've read, I would think so. Does that mean you can actually have faith in believing on behalf of other people? Does that say, is that what we're reading?
Yeah.
So am I going to pressure someone, say, you know, if you had a little kid or something, 7, 8 years old? You know, again, a lot of the stuff that, you know, you look at this, very simple. I wish I'd known some of this maybe 30 years ago. You know, maybe. Wish I'd known a bit more about it. But you think about it, you know, like if you're a 5, 6, 7, 8 year old kid, are you going to teach them how to have faith for healing? Or are you just going to have faith for them and get them healed? Right? Isn't it a wonderful blessing that God has made this available in the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, that he would do that, be so gracious to do that? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, might put a little pressure on the parents, but that's where it belongs, right? Certainly. Not on the kid. Okay, great is that faith. Okay, right there. And now we go down to Matthew 15:29. And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. See, this is not supposed to be the exception. This is supposed to be the rule. This is the way things are supposed to happen all the time. You know, if someone's going to come up with logic saying there he spent, you know, hours and hours with this, what is called a multitude, hundreds, thousands, I don't know how many people were there. If you're going to, you know, apply logic to every single healing that took place and say the person that got healed had to deal with sins in his life, had to come to the point of believing, or this person, that's not it, is it? Who believed to see those multitude healed? Jesus Christ. Did the people there have faith? Great if they did. They certainly had enough faith to come to him. That was all that was necessary. They didn't have to, you know, arc up their bong and get rid of this thing. I'm going to make this thing happen. They just had faith and said, I know you can do this. Okay, done deal. Done. See, anyway, we'll look at this more. I'm getting ahead of myself, but anyway. Matthew 17. A few more verses. Some interesting things to look at here. 17:14. So he healed them of everything. No mention of prayer there either. Matthew 17:14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed. For oftentimes he falleth into the water and often into the water. Fire and often into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Okay, didn't work. Okay. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. How did the healing take place? Jesus rebuked the devil. Is there any mention of prayer here? No, he rebuked the devil, and the healing took place. Okay. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, well, why couldn't we do it? Why couldn't we cast him out? And I love Jesus Christ's response. They probably didn't, but love the response. Jesus said, because of your unbelief. See, the only thing that stops healing and deliverance to take place is what?
Unbelief.
That's it. That's all that stops it. You know, because I know that, you know, again, a lot of times, you know, there are teachings out there and people say, well, you know, sin gets in the way, or things, you know, maybe have bad habits and all the other things. But of course, scripturally, there's only one thing that stops it, is unbelief. And he says to them, basically what he's telling them is, if you could have believed, it would have taken place. Isn't that what he's saying?
Yeah.
So who believed here? Jesus Christ did. Could they have believed?
Yeah.
Yes. And in the parallel record, he confronts the Father,
yeah.
Right? Could the Father have believed?
Yeah.
It's all about faith. It's always about believing. Believing in who? In this case, him. And he represents God. Faith in God. They could have had faith in God. He could have had faith in God. Jesus Christ said, I've got faith in God. I'm going to do this thing. But you could have done it, and so could you, Dad. He never questions or never confronts the boy. None of the records. None, right? So again, you mean you could have faith and believing on behalf of somebody else? According to scriptures, isn't that what it says? That's what we read. Okay. Because, and again, to teach them a great lesson about faith, for if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth out not by prayer and fasting. And that verse is not in some of the texts, some places it is fine. Just all it means is that, you know, you grow in grace and knowledge, grow in your ability to have faith, to believe. If prayer and fasting helps you do that, great, you ought to do that. Right? But the record here about the mountain, like, this is not a record. This is not a verse talking about revelation. This is the verse is talking about what? Faith. This much faith, this big of a result. A little bit. So it all takes a little bit, but you got to have that little bit. Right? That little bit is what you got to have. It's all you need to do something amazing. Right? But you got to have that. He told them he's got to have it. Told the dad he's got to have it. And he said, okay, I've got it. I'm going to do it. But it's by faith. By faith. And you got to have that believing. Not in the ability to get healed. Not in faith in your faith. But faith in him. Because you know he can do it. You would believe that. We've all believed that. We believed him to get healed. We believed him to get saved. Which is unbelievable. Apparently not. It is believable. Huh. Play on words, right? We did that. We had faith to do that. We believed him. And that's the same faith it takes to do this. And Jesus Christ taught them that. In Matthew 19, two more records here. Almost done. But, you know, it's good to look at these records, to think about them, and to see what they say to us. Matthew 19, verse 1. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. Great multitudes followed him. Who had faith to do that? Jesus Christ did. And the last record we'll look at today, Matthew chapter 20. Verse 29. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, well, what do you want me to do? I love, what will ye that I shall do unto you? They said unto him, Lord, that our eyes be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Immediate deliverance. You know, most of the times it's just immediate deliverance, or within a short period of time, total and absolute deliverance from whatever they had. So, you know, looking at those records, just briefly, just ask those questions again. How was it done? Well, a lot of different ways, but generally spoken by a word of command. He commanded the sickness and disease to depart, and it did, because the authority was there. And we'll look at the authority that we have at some point. What do they have faith in? Faith in him, representing God. Faith in God, that God could do this. Was prayer involved? Not one record in Matthew. And I know in the back of your mind, you might be thinking of Lazarus. You might be thinking of Peter and Dorcas. You might be thinking of the book of James. We'll look at those later. We're going to look at those in due course. But these records that are showing us how it's accomplished, there is not one case, not one record that we saw that prayer was involved. Who got healed? Everyone. Easy answer. Was there a case where it didn't work? No. Revelation involved? Possibly, but not to actually minister the healing. Maybe information while healing was being ministered to. So faith was always, I wrote down some conclusions. Faith was always involved, and it was faith in Jesus Christ, or God, since Jesus Christ declared God and made him known. and said that God did the works. It was not faith in a person's ability to recover from the sickness or disease. Sometimes the person requiring healing was not even there. Jesus Christ's faith was certainly always involved. Was revelation involved? Sure, maybe Jesus did things in different ways, but that revelation was not concerning whether or not healing should take place. Healing is built into the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. That is why we read he healed every sickness, every disease, that he healed a multitude, and even the woman from outside the covenant had her daughter healed. Clearly, healing and deliverance, all is God's will. How was it accomplished? By words of command spoken to the sickness, disease, the spirit, or the body, accompanied many times by touch, laying on of hands. Prayer was never mentioned in the records of healing and deliverance. So those are some observations in the second part on healing. And we'll continue with healing records examined next time when we get together. And eventually we are going to get to the records in Acts, and then we're going to get to some of the things written in the New Testament and in the epistles concerning just what we have in Christ Jesus. Yeah? Okay. That's it. God bless. Great. Love you guys. Have a great